Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket Cat. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show lined up for you this morning. Coming your way this morning here on the show, Washington Commanders defensive end James Smith-Williams. He'll drop on by coming up here in hour number three. Also, plenty on the aftermath of week four in the NFL, including last night's Monday Nighter. In 20 minutes, we've also got your sound check, and that includes a really fired up Steve Ballmer trying to whip Supersonics fans into a frenzy. We'll explain. And in 40 minutes, Tony La Russa may be in Cooperstown, but that was anything but in his final season with the White Sox. That's coming up this hour here on the show. Let us begin on Monday Night Football. There are a few certainties in the NFL, only a few. And one of them is, in the regular season, the Niners always beat the Rams. Seven consecutive wins for San Francisco in this series of the regular season, although the most important matchup in last year's NFC Championship game, obviously, went to the Rams. But last night was more of the same, as the Niners had the playmakers, witness Deebo Samuel's catch and break after the catch for the touchdown, and a harassment of Matthew Stafford all night long. That Niners defense was filthy. San Francisco adds a pick six late, and the Niners go on to a 24-9 victory. The Niners had seven sacks on the night and hit Matthew Stafford 11 times. So the Rams fall to 2-2. The Niners climb to 2-2, and now everybody in the NFC West is 2-2. The Rams look anything but like a defending Super Bowl champ, especially last night. So what gives? What's going on with the Rams? What's wrong with the defending Super Bowl champs? It is where we begin your cold open.
Aaron Donald lining up at three technique. Next, the outside shoulder of Aaron Banks and the Kibitz's side. Jimmy throws. It is caught by Deebo Samuel. Breaks a tackle, 40. Deebo 35-30, 25-20. Breaks another tackle, 15-10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
almost know Debo's going to have one or two of those in the game. You know, you don't want to bank on it, but you almost can. And now it wasn't so much about rhythm. I thought, you know, honestly, I thought it was third down really put us in a good spot as compared to last week. Just when you're successful like that, it allows the run game to get going and just allows you to open up the playbook a little more.
Stafford going to throw out right, intercepted and coming back the other way. Talanoa Hufanga, touchdown, San Francisco.
Each game's different, and that was a big one, obviously. Still counts the same, but anytime you win one in your division, and coming off how we were last week, we needed to play good, and I thought we did. Not perfect at all, but definitely played better.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was 49ers radio on the call. Obviously, you heard Kyle Shanahan there after the victory. There's a couple of things in play right now for the Los Angeles Rams. First and foremost, this is the most important part about the Rams so far. The offensive line is no good. Losing Whitworth to retirement has been a huge loss for them. And last night was jailbreak city on Matthew Stafford all night long. That is the single most important part of why the Rams are struggling. Their offensive line is no good. Absolutely porous last night against an excellent, excellent 49ers defense. But Stafford is also up there in age, and I think that he's not getting much time. And we know the elbow might be a little less than 100%. And I just think at this point in his career, Stafford's taking a lot of hits. And once he starts taking hits, he's not a guy that's going to certainly slip out of potential tackles, sacks, pressures, and make something happen. So that's an issue. Also, they can't keep defenders off of Stafford because they can't run the football effectively either. I mean, last night there was absolutely no run game for the 49ers, for the Rams rather. And I'll tell you, I think that's the big problem right now, Sean McVay's play calling. I don't know why he doesn't trust running the football. Maybe it's because of that offensive line, but I feel like he's so dependent on Cooper Kupp that McVay's offense is all about just get Cooper Kupp the football 15 times and hope something happens. Because last night, let me give you this stat. Talk about one-dimensional. The Rams hit Cooper Kupp 14 times for 122 yards. All other Rams receivers had 4 catches. I mean, so look, we all know that Cooper Kupp is great. We all know he's one of the most productive wide receivers in football, but they're completely one-dimensional. And this is where I think Sean McVay is a little overrated. McVay has won, and I don't take that away from him. He has won a Super Bowl. He's gone to another. Clearly, he's got a winning culture. He knows how to get W's. But I've never felt like there was any great shakes about the Rams offense since he's taken over. I think early on, it was mainly defense, Wade Phillips' defense, that carried the Rams to that first Super Bowl. And last year, look, no doubt Cooper Kupp deserves a lot of touches, but it just feels like they get drawn into, sucked into. Get him the ball, and who knows what else we're going to do. So that's a problem. They're one-dimensional. Offensive line is a problem. And I think that overall for the Rams, what we've seen is through 4 games, they're 2-2. They got 2 wins over pretenders and 2 losses to contenders. They got waxed by the Bills on opening night. And last night, they got just pounded into submission by a team that's tougher and more aggressive than they are, and have more ways to beat you. And they've beaten the Falcons and the Cardinals, 2 not very good teams. So to me, the Rams have an issue here, and they can't fix it unless they fix the offensive line, and they can't fix it unless they've got a secondary way to beat you besides Cooper Kupp. And tons of credit to the Niners, because, dude, that 49ers defense can single-handedly beat you every week. And they haven't done so yet this year. They've had some rough offensive outings. But the 49ers, they get caught in that monsoon opening weekend against the Bears. And then last week, I mean, Jimmy G is just an absolute nightmare against the Broncos. They lose 11-10. So think about their two losses this season. They lose 19-10 in a rainstorm to open things up against the Bears, a total anomaly, and then lose 11-10 last Sunday night. It's a good Niners team. As long as they can create a few big plays with Debo, and last night they did, as long as Jimmy G doesn't puke, which last night he did not, the 49ers, as I talked about in the offseason, are one of the best teams in football. Now, I thought they could be a Super Bowl contender with Trey Lance and not with Jimmy G. And I still have my concerns that Garoppolo's ceiling is too low and that he just can't make the big throws necessary to win a Super Bowl when you have to have a few big throws. But that doesn't mean this isn't a really good team. It's a really good team. They're one of the best in the NFC. And let's face it, this is such a vulnerable NFC this year. The Packers have issues. The Buccaneers have issues. The Rams have issues. So the 49ers might, by default, by having just a wickedly great defense and Debo and a decent running game and a good play caller, be right there in the catbird seat for trying to win the NFC. But again, look, that taking it to the house from Debo, it's a great play. He breaks tackles. I mean, the guy is just amazing. He really reminds me a lot of John Taylor after the catch. John Taylor was speedy, but he was strong. He had really good hands, and everybody paid attention to Jerry Rice in the 80s and 90s. And John Taylor would just take like a 12-yard slant and take it to the house. He was just so good at the open field. He was so strong. There's so much John Taylor and Debo Samuel, but that throw from Garoppolo is high. If that's off of Debo's fingertips or a little bit to one side, it could be a pick six the other way. I mean, that's the Garoppolo seesaw you're on. 49ers win 24-9. And coming up, they've got very winnable games. Panthers and Falcons straight ahead. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. A moment on Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols has now hit another home run last night. 703. Okay? He now has 703 home runs. And remember, there was the big question midway through September, could he get to 700? Early September, could he get to 700? Could he get to 700? And not only has he gotten to 700, he is now at 703, and it feels like he's got a home run every other night. It's insane the type of run that he is on. It really is. It's insane the type of run that he is on. And down the stretch they come. This is the craziest stat to me of the Major League Baseball season. That Albert Pujols has hit as many home runs down the stretch as Aaron Judge has to lead Major League Baseball's home run chase at the end here. I mean, is that not totally crazy? They've both hit 17 home runs down the stretch. One guy's in his prime. One guy has hit 61 home runs. One guy's have the greatest single offensive season ever. And one guy is at the very tail end of his career in the final couple of games. And he's hitting as many home runs as Aaron Judge. Who the hell knows how this has happened, but what a historic September this has been. As they have both, and Judge has slowed down, and somehow Pujols hasn't. And I was thinking about how baseball wanted to clean itself up after the steroid era. Understandably so, there was so much negativity and so much skepticism around steroids and who was using and who wasn't. that the public demanded its pound of flesh. And so remember when baseball released the Mitchell Report, this was an investigation that it did into its own players, into its own trainers, into its own clubhouses. You were courting disaster because there was going to be names on there, stars on there, and baseball decided we needed to publicize the names. Again, public needed its pound of flesh. In doing so, baseball tried to clean up the game and reassert confidence in the sport. But by making it so thorough and by making the name so public, it dragged everybody through the mud. And today, there's such a skepticism about steroids that even a guy like Albert Pujols, who has never been connected to them technically, down the stretch, what are people saying? Yeah, okay. This guy's 42 years old and hitting as many home runs as Aaron Judge. And so there's this, yeah, this is great, but, yeah, this is great, but. And baseball has the most stringent steroid testing, PED testing out of any major sport, team sport anyway. And people still wonder, yeah, but, I mean, how's he doing it? And so it's almost like baseball couldn't have won back in 2001, 2003, 2005, when they really tried to clean up the sport, because that stench still hangs with us. Judge's 61 is clouded by Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds. What's the real record? What's not? People disagree, etc. And Pujols going for this record. People are whispering, obviously. And it just, it's interesting because it was almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because the genie was so far out of the bottle. Everybody knew that steroids were all over the place in baseball, so they kind of had to do something. But you think about football, who has had steroids in their culture for way longer than baseball. I mean, steroids in football go back to the 70s. And yet, when records are broken now, we don't constantly compare it or sigh or wonder, well, is this guy doing it cleanly? It's kind of crazy. Baseball has become a victim of its own cleanup because they let the crime get too far out of control. Anyway, we will see Albert Pujols in the postseason as the St. Louis Cardinals are heading to October as well, now that we're in October, so plenty more Pujols at bats to go. When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, a snippy Nick Saban, a fiery Steve Ballmer, and baseball fan Elton John? It's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Today is a Trash Tuesday. Watch the proceedings at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Also, you can watch it at Twitch and watch the show as well on YouTube. Chat alongside other D-Aliens when you go ahead and watch on Twitch and YouTube. We start with Nick Saban as he gets questions from the media about his backup QB now that Bryce Young is day-to-day.
Do you want us to put a new one together now just because he might play or use the old one? I mean, we can do either one. I mean, I'll go talk to the offensive coaches and see. Again, you know, I don't talk to Jimbo on a regular basis, but I'll call him and tell him right after the conference if you want me to. I mean, you guys think I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with our offense and our team? You might as well make it up. I saw today where there's headlines in the paper that, you know, I'm going to keep it a secret what we're going to do with Bryce. It sounded like me making that statement, but I've never said that. But it was there in black and white. Like, so you can make up whatever you want to make up. You know, look at somebody else's running quarterback and say they should put these plays in. I think that'd be a better way to do it.
Bryce Young is dinged up. That means Jalen Milroe could end up playing against Texas A&M. It is Aggies week. And remember the offseason tete-a-tete between one Jimbo Fisher and one Nick Saban. So there's a lot of ego on the line. There's recruiting wins on the line. There is puffing out your chest on the line this week against the Aggies. It's too bad the Aggies stink so bad. My goodness. What a pathetic season already in College Station. This is the night kick on CBS this week at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I mean, Bama's done its job going back to number one of the country. A&M is now 3-2 on the season. It's so pathetic to watch them once again slide through a year where they're not either taking games seriously, losing to App State, or being way overrated, losing last week to Mississippi State. You can tell I'm hot about this because, A, we keep getting told that A&M is ready to supplant Alabama as the power team of the SEC West and compete for an SEC championship, and it keeps not happening. And also, I believed in them this past week against Mississippi State, and they still spit the bit. And so the Wizard of Odds takes one on the chin. It's amazing. It really is amazing that Jimbo Fisher keeps getting extensions and money and applause and job security despite not really accomplishing anything since he won that national championship, which is now a long time ago. But a snippy Nick Saban is good. That is good. I enjoy that. Now, here is Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. There was a preseason game last night in Seattle. Now, of course, as we all know, Steve Ballmer made all of his money with Microsoft. Right? He's a Microsoft guy. Or Apple guy? Microsoft.
No, I thought he was the other Microsoft guy.
Right. Well, there's three of them. Right?
None of us
there's,
know.
There's Gates.
Yeah.
There's Ballmer and there's Wozniak.
Yes, he was right. The chief executive officer, which I think is the CEO of Microsoft from 2000 to 2014.
Chief executive officer indeed is CEO. That's
I didn't
want
to say he was the CEO if he wasn't. I think that's what CEO stands for, but that's what he was.
No, you were right.
Executive or eggs? Is that what your confusion I'm was? I'm just playing it safe. I read out the title.
So Ballmer made how many billions of dollars with Microsoft? Did it in Seattle. Going back to Seattle with a preseason game last night. Of course, the Sonics have now not been there for 15 years or so. And Ballmer's getting this Seattle crowd fired up for basketball.
I am so excited
Caesars. Paul Allen, founder of Microsoft, got me interested in basketball before he passed, the owner of the Blazers. Thanks to all the Blazers tonight. And last, but not least, I want to know whether you guys agree with me. I've watched thousands of basketball games in Seattle. CYO, little kids, AAU, pro, college, you name it. So if this is a basketball city, damn it, let's hear it!
That's a very fired up Steve Ballmer.
He's taking that nonsense to CYO games in Seattle, scaring kids.
So, what would life-changing money be for you? Probably a couple $1 million, maybe even just $1 million, maybe $500,000.
I could tell you right now, $360,000, because that would complete paying off my mortgage.
Okay, so that'd be life-changing money. Those three dudes, he mentioned Paul Allen there. Paul Allen, these were the three guys at the top of Microsoft. And then I guess Wozniak was a little bit under them. He was more the technician, I think. Paul Allen, $20 billion. Steve Ballmer, $77 billion.
Come on.
Bill Gates, $101 billion. That's just from Microsoft. That's Microsoft money. Those three dudes have a combined $200 billion from Microsoft.
And I think the...
And nobody even uses Microsoft anymore.
And I think the Woz story is he got out too soon.
Right, you're right.
And left money on the table. He didn't realize what was coming. And yeah. Where they had a fight and they got rid of him. There's a story about how much he should have.
You're right.
That he doesn't.
You're
Steve,
right.
Wasn't Steve Wozniak Apple, though?
You're right. Wozniak was Apple. He got out from Steve Jobs early.
And then went to Apple and cashed in?
I don't know. Woz is only worth $100 million only.
Okay, so yeah. So then it's Apple, not Microsoft.
Yes.
And that's where he bounced too
yes,
soon.
Okay. Yes, yeah, yeah. Only $100 million.
Right? But I mean, it's not $77 billion. It is only $100 mil.
It's true. It's true. I mean, could you imagine, like, Paul Allen's the pauper. Now he's passed away, but, like, Paul Allen is only got $20 billion out of Microsoft.
I would definitely have an indoor pool, and then I would get so much less summer anxiety.
Would you live in Bayshore?
Yeah, I could. I would live in what was known as Brightwaters, which is, like, my snooty part of Bayshore. Yeah,
okay,
I love it over there. Yeah, I would
so
go.
So you'd still live in
yeah.
here. You wouldn't go back to Babylon and just buy like the biggest house in West Babylon.
No,
buy Babylon.
To be honest, Brightwaters has bigger houses where I am, but down by the water, like gorgeous mansions. I would go down to one of those.
Why wouldn't you just go like to Montauk or with Pete in the winter? Like just go further into Suffolk, like where the real money is.
Because I'd still want to be close enough to get to Ranger games and Yankee games and Giant games.
You could helicopter in.
No, you can't land on top of MSG.
No, you land on the west side.
Because I'd have season tickets to everything too.
So you wouldn't work here, you just buy season tickets, everything.
I'd think about buying this place.
Oh.
And we would be advised not to?
No. That's wrong. Our business at CBS Sports Radio is actually a very good business.
Yeah.
Now, correct. You could argue it's not run correctly, but it is actually
fair.
A very profitable business.
No, I'm a radio guy, so I actually think I'd buy it, and I'd invest in who I think are the proper bosses to run things around here.
Okay.
And I might turn it into a little bit of like The Apprentice. I might turn this place into a reality show as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'll make Pete fight for his job.
Okay. Okay.
I'd quit before you did that.
I'd make certain people around here not be able to do updates anymore. And I'd have an indoor pool.
Here?
Maybe. Yeah. And I'd have an omelet guy for the morning people that wake up here every morning.
That would be really cool. It's like owning a sports team. Every rich guy wants to own a sports team because he wants to put his fingerprints on it. It would be really cool to own a radio station or a radio network and put your fingerprints on it. Like, there's an indoor pool at this radio station.
Yeah.
There's an omelet guy at the station.
There's a workout facility. There's a daycare. I could do a lot of things around here.
Then you're bankrupt and then you're in a month and then you're done.
Maybe, but when you have that much money, can you ever get bankrupt?
Yeah, you would because... You're too nice. You would give money to everybody. And Bayshore and Babylon would show up, and then you got Foxy living large.
No.
Mike no longer upside down.
Right side up, Mike.
No. And I'd also do a company family picnic in my backyard every year.
Well, we kind of do that anyway at the Bob's Bar Show.
But like everybody. Perloff can come.
Okay.
I'll pay for Rome's private flight. Everybody come. Bring the family. I'll have pony rides. We'll have a good time once a year.
From a Babylon backyard. A
little camaraderie.
Would you still fill in for Costos on Tuesday afternoon?
Probably would.
Becky will. Okay. Just that.
Here is Elton John. He had a concert Sunday night. And apparently was locked in to Braves Mets.
And something that makes me very happy tonight, the Braves swept the Mets.
Now, what's up with that? Something made me very happy tonight, the Braves swept the Mets. Why is Elton John going to hair up his ass for the Mets?
Well, so apparently, this concert was in Nashville, not Atlanta, by the way, so he wasn't trying to play to the crowd. Apparently, during the 90s, Elton John became a huge Braves fan and befriended Bobby Cox. And it's the one American sport he is passionate about. He loves Atlanta Braves baseball.
Now, that's a reality show. Bobby Cox and Elton John hanging
out?
Seriously?
Apparently, Elton John was always hanging around the Braves clubhouse during that run with Maddox, Glavine, and company.
Huge Steve Avery guy.
I did not know this, but this has been the story that's come out since.
Chatting with Danny Nagel.
But remember, over the summer, Elton John, when he played Dodger Stadium, was in full Dodger uniform. So now the question is, if you're a Braves fan, can you really play up and go full Dodger uniform?
No. A phony.
No, he's a phony. Total phony. He was into the Braves because they were winning all those years. And then as soon as they stopped winning, he became a Dodger fan.
Yeah. And also another note on Elton John, too. If you're that big a fan, you can't be playing. It's pennant race time. You got to pause the tour.
You can't be playing Nashville.
No, you can't be playing Nashville on the night of a big Sunday night game. And you got to tell everybody holding tickets, sorry, I'll be back in I don't know, November.
I believe he's done touring in New York, too, by the way. So he's very easy to say that statement.
Celebrities are such fugazi fans. They always just go with the wind.
I love Pete saying he's very easy to say the statement. What, are you going to go throw eggs at Elton John? I mean, what are the Mets fans going to do to him?
That's what I'll do.
And finally, we'll go to a CBS Sports update, or is this on the local side, WFAN?
No, yeah, this was a CBS Sports Radio update during Carrington Harrison's show Saturday morning.
Okay, Saturday morning here on CBS Sports Radio, we will listen in on the update to an unnamed anchor.
Tulane won 27-24 on a walk-off 10-yard touchdown pass from third-string quarterback Kai Horton to Tyjon Spears in overtime. Emotional evening for Seattle baseball team as the Mariners clinched their first playoff postseason berth since 2001 on a Cal Raleigh walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the A's 2-1. One more piece of news is Ark Manning, nephew of NFL legends Eli and Peyton, broke his uncle's record for career passing yards and touchdowns in a season. I'm Jack Stern.
I thought it was going to be unnamed anchor there.
You didn't name him.
I'm Jack Stern.
Oh, no.
So Ark Manning was the tip-off that we got, that he said Ark Manning, not Arch Manning. No. But there were other things involved.
Oh, well, nobody's name is Ark.
No,
that's
one's
not
Arch
a thing. It's not like calling Damon David. It's not like calling Andrew, I don't know, something.
Mraz Raz.
It's nobody's named Ark.
Ark Manning.
Apparently he doesn't like first letters of nicknames and doesn't like last letters of first names.
Ark Manning.
Now, it also dates back to, remember, he keeps pounding the drum of how big a college football fan he is. He's now gone Kirk Herbstreit, and the biggest recruit that all anybody's been talking about is Arch Manning. He calls him Ark Manning. How big a college football fan? What is you? What is you at all?
Ark Manning.
I have to bite my tongue here. I can't.
All right, so I'll let you bite your tongue. I also want to bring up this. They're not the Washington football team. They're also not the Seattle baseball team. It's the Mariners.
Well, that's an M word, though. He hates M's.
So he doesn't say Mariners. He says, and he doesn't call them the Seattle baseball team. He says, Seattle baseball team clinched a playoff postseason berth. Pick one, playoff or postseason. Nobody's ever clinched a playoff postseason berth. They're both the same thing.
Well, I missed all of that.
Yeah. And then there's, if you go even further back, there's the Tulane touchdown. I'm sure it's a great story that Kai Horton did that, but his name is not Horton. It's also a game. Tulane-Houston's not a top 25 game. There have been other game-winning touchdown passes. That doesn't need to be in an update at all. And I don't think he said who they beat in overtime on the touchdown pass. So I gotta get back.
Kai Horton.
I gotta get back with Jack. We gotta go over a few things.
I'm Jack Stern.
We gotta the potential is there. We gotta smooth out some of the rough edges.
Kai Horton. Ark Manning.
Oh, Ark Manning. No. He is royal. He's already football royalty.
Ark Manning.
You know,
he has been talked about as a recruit for 5 years now. His commitment to Texas is the single biggest commitment in college football, easily in 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe since Peyton Manning or Eli Manning committed.
It's big enough that it elicited Freedom of Information requests to find out how much Texas paid for his visit. Do you remember that story from last week?
Yes. And the sire of all of this is Archie Manning.
Right, it's not Archie.
It's the easiest way to know what his name is. It's based on freaking Archie Manning, the most famous football dad arguably ever.
Let's go Archie Manning.
Former Saints quarterback Archie Manning.
He's got to be Archie forever.
Ark! Come on!
Playoff postseason berths. Kai Horton.
He can't. Also, he's reading this on the radio. He can't blame this on spell check.
I could believe Raz over Meraz. I could believe Kurt over Kirk Herbstreit. I can't at this point rationalize Ark Manning. That's not. It's not a name. It's not based on Archie. He's the
Ark Manning,
the biggest prep football star in decades. There's no defense of this. And I'm looking for defenses. Can we play the whole thing again? I got to hear all of the things that you just pointed out.
And before we play it,
Portent, the Seattle.
Bogus said, why read that top 25? I do have to point out, this was Saturday morning. That was the Friday night ESPN game. So
okay,
I think
but still not top 25, right?
I just want to defend him. I think that can be read Saturday morning.
Okay. Okay.
All right, let's hear that whole
thing. Tulane won 27-24 on a walk-off 10-yard touchdown pass from third-string quarterback Kai Horton to Tyjon Spears in overtime. Emotional evening for Seattle baseball team as the Mariners clinch their first playoff postseason berth since 2001 on a Cal Raleigh walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the A's 2-1. One more piece of news is Ark Manning, nephew of NFL legends Eli and Peyton, broke his uncle's record for career passing yards and touchdowns in a season.
Which uncle?
I'm Jack Stern.
They're both his uncle, right? Because he's Cooper's kid. And he definitely didn't say that Tulane beat Houston. He gave the score, didn't say who they beat.
I'm Jack Stern.
So he gets Ark Manning wrong on his name and then has to tell everybody who he is. By the way, if you didn't know who Ark Manning was, he's the nephew.
Look, the fact is there's an issue going on with first names. I mean, Kurt, Raz, Ark, I guess Hortent, so all names maybe.
Mariners, Seattle baseball team.
If you don't use names, then you're fine.
Playoff, postseason, Raleigh.
I got to talk to him.
You got to get in his ear.
I got to.
You got to.
If I got to. And man I can't mess up this next update.
Man needs tutelage.
Ark Manning.
Right. He needs to be wherever city you send people. What is that? Kenosha?
Grand Rapids.
It should be noted.
Alcatraz?
It should be noted.
Alcatraz!
Kai Horton.
It's 106, the Beast Alcatraz.
Start a station there.
You're listening to 1660, the Breakout Alcatraz.
1 hour earlier, I heard Jack Stern do a local update on my way to the airport, and I texted him telling him he did a nice job. Now, had I been listening to CBS Sports Radio,
it's on you.
The text never gets far.
The blood is on your hands.
This is the one after.
It is. It basically is.
Is the what?
This update, timing-wise, ended up being the next update he did after I texted him that he did a good job.
Good job.
Crushed it. Well, I missed the Ark and Hortent part.
At the Alcatraz station, will there be an omelet guy?
Yeah, but you don't want to eat the omelets.
That's right. Who's making them?
Bogues has headlines.
Headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. The Super Bowl champs in trouble. The Rams are 2-2 with a thud. 24-9 losers at the Niners on Monday Night Football. Matthew Stafford sacked 7 times. Under pressure 17 times. Not even Daniel Jones could survive that.
A lot to clean up. Proud of the way we fought. Give them a lot of credit. It's a good football team. But like you said, one possession game. You know, we make a critical error there, and they capitalize on it, and that was that.
That was the pick six you heard in the cold open. Removed any remaining doubt with 6.5 minutes to play. Nick Bosa had 2 of those 7 sacks of Stafford. His Niners now 2-2 as well. They've won the last 7 regular season meetings with the Rams. Baseball last night, the Braves did not win the NL East. They lose in Miami 4-0, while the Mets were rained out. They'll play 2 with the Nationals today, maybe, because the forecast still stinks here in New York. Atlanta's magic number is still 1. The Phillies, meanwhile, claim the last open spot in the NL with a 3-0 win in Houston. It's their first postseason trip in 11 years, and it means the Brewers are not going to the postseason. And Steve Ballmer did that yelling in Seattle before his Clippers beat the Blazers 102-97 in preseason action. Kawhi Leonard played for the first time in 476 days. He had 11 points and 4 rebounds. D.A., back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back on the show, the end of Tony La Russa's managerial career comes to a crashing thud. D.A., CBS Sports Radio. Here on CBS Sports Radio, Trash Tuesday. We'll get to our trashes coming up next hour here on the program. I've got some ideas. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app as well. Stream us every single day. Take us with you wherever you go. Tony La Russa finally stepped down. Another retirement for Tony. He had been out of the game for a decade. His buddy Jerry Reinsdorf brought him back in Chicago to manage the White Sox. There was the brief peak last year where they won the American League Central. They were the heavy favorites coming into this season to do the same in what appeared to be a weak division. Instead, they were around 500 all season long, could never get out of their own way, complete underachievers, and La Russa made bizarre decisions. And then by the end, I mean, obviously, health is a serious consideration, but had to leave the team for the final month of the year. Pacemaker, heart situation. I mean, the whole thing just imploded. And this is one of the things that upsets me most in sports, is that when decision makers, billionaires, people that are actually in positions of power, don't do due diligence and just hire friends. This was it. Reinsdorf was trying to make good on firing Tony La Russa 35 years ago. And La Russa, not realizing that he doesn't have the juice anymore, decided to take the job. And La Russa being stubborn and Reinsdorf being small-minded combined for wasted years with a talented team in Chicago. It was wasted years. And just looking at Tony La Russa yesterday, without trying to sound harsh or crass, he looked really unhealthy. He looked like he was battered. He looked like life had put him through the ringer. And you don't need that with your franchise. Yes, there's wisdom in age, etc., but La Russa wasn't a young 78. La Russa had been through the rigors. La Russa had problems with alcohol. La Russa had driven himself pretty hard for a long time and then been out of the game for 10 years. Who thought that would work? It was all due to favors. It's all due to friendships. It is not getting the best man for the job. It's hiring your friend, your buddy, your old colleague, your frat partner, whatever. And it's frustrating. It is really, because there's too much on the line. You're not hiring your best friend to come work at the muffler shop with you. You're hiring a friend to run a billion-dollar enterprise with hundreds of millions of dollars in salaries at stake.
Hundreds of thousands of fans invested, or millions of fans, in a massive market in a professional franchise in a big-time sport. You can't afford to just hire your drinking buddy to run the team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.